Father, we thank you for this day and all of the ministry of this day, Lord, your ministry to us. We thank you for the ministry of your word, the ministry of the Lord's Supper. We thank you for the ministry of the fellowship of the saints, the ministry of prayer. And Lord, I thank you now for this class, this course, Lord, this time that we've been sharing together week after week. And I pray, Father, that you would bless this final half hour and all the things we've talked about. I just ask, Lord, that it would continue to bear fruit, that we would be a people together. New Hope would be a church together on mission. And I ask that even now as we talk about getting the conversation started, you would equip, Lord, each person here for the ministry that you have set out for them, even in the coming weeks. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, getting the conversation started. First thing, how do you get the gospel conversation started? Number one, prayer. You pray. And I think I mentioned the first sermon that I preached on the John 14. One prayer that God has almost never failed to answer with a yes and almost immediately is, Lord, open up a door for the gospel. Try it. I promise. I guarantee you he will answer that prayer. You know, you're driving to work. Lord, open up a gospel conversation. Actually, when I was going to the Bridgeton Diner, just some of those, like the first day where I had like multiple conversations with people, and literally, you know, the one was came over, and she wasn't even my server, but like sat down to say, hey, someone said you're pastor, you know, I figured I'd talk to you. I was walking into the diner. It was the day I met Christian. That was the day I met Christian. I was walking in, and he was working a double shift today too, so he couldn't be here. But keep praying for him and keep an eye out for him. My car was being fixed, and so I was going to hang out at Bridge Diner for the few hours. As I'm walking in the door, just Lord, quick prayer, Lord, just use me as an instrument of ministry to somebody. You know, just use me and minister to people. And that's, you know, I'm reading this book on God-centered evangelism. Hey, so what book are you reading? Oh, it's called God-Centered Evangelism. How is it? Actually, it's pretty good. He's like, yeah, I've been trying to get in my faith recently. Get back to my faith. I got off the path. And so anyway, pray for open doors. You'd be amazed that you're going to meet up just with a gathering of maybe some old, you know, high school friends, college friends, just a little dinner. On the way there, pray, Lord, just open a door for me to talk about Jesus. Open a door for the gospel. God loves to answer those questions. So number one, pray. Pray. Okay, now opening the conversation. On the handout here, I have three kind of three approaches to, or three avenues, put it that way, three avenues of opening a gospel conversation. Number one are tracks. How many people have taken a tract from the front counter out here? All right. So if you haven't, your assignment is before you leave to grab one of each tract. Okay, grab one of each tract that's on the table there, and then read it. And then you're going to give it out to somebody. Don't hold on to it. Give it to somebody. So tracks, I love, and I try to keep them in my car, just tracks. So if I'm out talking to someone at a restaurant and a conversation with someone, I think, you know what, this would be a good track. I can hand it to them. I'm at the gas station, I'm talking with someone. Sometimes I just, they seem friendly, they seem responsive, and so I leave them with the tract. I was at Aldi the other day, and I was in somebody else's car, so I didn't have the tracks, but walking through the checkout line, and as a young guy, I don't know if any Aldi shoppers here, so he's got like two earrings and like this kind of, maybe like small plug earrings or something, and then kind of like some, chains or something. It was a younger guy, probably in his 20s, early to mid-20s. But he's checking out, and I'd seen the day before. He said, "How you doing?" He said, "How are you?" I said, "I'm doing pretty good. How are you?" He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, what did you say?" I said, "How are you?" No, he said the first part. I said, "I'm doing well." So it's interesting, the fact that he like asked me, it showed like there was a sincerity of like he wanted to know. That was a sincere question. He wasn't just like going through rote. Because you know, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, what did you say?" I said, "Oh, how are you?" And he said, "No, the first one." He went, "He said, I'm doing well." I said, "How are you?" He said, "Oh, I'm all right." I said, "Oh, yeah?" And just to get his tone, right? "Oh, I'm all right, you know." I said, "Yeah, what could be better?" He's like, "Oh, a lot of things." So anyway, but it was like a long line, you know, people. All my stuff was checked out now, so I wasn't going to, you know, continue. But I was walking out, man, there's an opportunity. Here's a guy, right, who's obviously, he's not at peace. Right? There's stuff going on in his life. I don't know what it is, but obviously something. But that was, I thought, man, that tract, what's your story? So I'd love to give that to him, but I didn't have one. So I went back the other day to see if he was there. He's not. So tomorrow, one last trip to see if he's there. I want to give it to him. But that's keep some of those in your car and look, right, be praying and look for opportunities, you know, to give those out. I love to hand out tracts as a gift, too. So you can give it, you know, at the gas station. And the guy is kind of like, you know, he's pumping my gas, and there's not been much interaction. Sometimes, I just think, you know, I've got a tract here. This guy looks lonely or whatever. Let me just give him a tract. Sowing the seed of the word. Remember I shared, you know, a couple classes of weeks ago about how many people, I shared about why I was not a tract passer. And then the Lord convicted me and then started increasing my faith. And now I love the words of life. So sometimes I'll just, you know, they're taking my money before I leave. I say, hey man, I'm going to give this to you. Say, you know, hey, this is for you. It's the greatest news in the world. You know, it'll bless you. And you say with a smile and a genuineness, "Oh, okay, thanks." Now, sometimes, say I've done it, it's like later at night, there's nobody waiting, and like, "Oh, yeah? What is it?" And now we end up talking about, you know, about God for 15, 20 minutes. And now he has something to take away. So sometimes it opens up doors. And that's one reason I like, in our street ministry, always like giving out tracts, because sometimes that opens the door. People take it, and they stop, and they're kind of interested, like, "What is this?" And now you start talking about it. But even if they don't stop, they're kind of busy, they just take it and just put it, "Okay, thanks," and put it in their pocket. You know what? Great. You don't need to say anything anymore. Just the fact that you gave them something. But when you give out tracts, you hand it to someone, you have to believe this message is the message of life. I think so often we think about tracts giving tracts as like, it's my duty. I have to do something for God, because if I'm not being a good Christian. And of course, nobody in the world, you know, wants Christ. And so, you know, anybody who wants Christ, I mean, you know, they're already in church, or they'll come up and ask me for a tract, right? You know, yeah, exactly. And they're probably gonna be offended. So yeah. Say it with conviction, right? And sometimes you have to like preach to yourself. Wait, do I really believe that Christ died? Like everything apart from Christ is vain. Do I really believe that this present life is passing away? Do I really believe, you know, I'm going to be, you know, this body's going to be buried in a grave? Going to be put in a coffin sometime? Could be 50 years from now. Could be 2 weeks from now. But what's lasting, eternal, or resurrection, incorruptible, undefiled life was purchased by and brought out of the grave with Christ Jesus, and it's his gift that he gives as he brings lost sinners into fellowship, relationship with the living God. Wow. Sometimes you just have to remind yourself of the gospel preaching, like, yeah, this is, and do I believe that the gospel is the power of God and salvation, and that this could be a person who's like, maybe they've been laying on the bed thinking, you know, man, what, maybe, you know, God is real, and all this, the stuff that I did, how can I ever be, could I be forgiven? And this could be the thing that just sows the seed of the word. Use a holy imagination. So give it and say, hey, this is the best news in the world. This is a gift for you. You know, it's about the greatest story. It's awesome about what God has done. And you say it with a smile and conviction. All right, so that's tracks. Number two, prayer. That's another avenue of opening gospel doors, conversations, just offering to pray for people. So sometimes we do this in our like street ministry when I would go out in the parks at Westfield. We would just, hey, we're from Grace Church. We're out here just, you know, just want to bless people and pray for praying for people, anything we could be praying for. Sometimes I've had some pastors like to do that. Have come, we've done on the boardwalk some. There's a guy, Frank Marsh. He's just retired as an OPC minister out in Wisconsin. But yeah, hey, we're out here from the Boardwalk Chapel. We're out here from Grace Church. We're from New Hope, and we're out here just praying for people. Is there any ways that we could be praying for you? Oh. Now, sometimes we're like, oh, no, I'm good. I'm good, you know. And now I start thinking, oh, wait. Yeah, people, they don't want prayer. Wait, why are we out here? That's kind of awkward. Let's not do this, you know. No. Okay. So how many people are out there, right? this lady one time, I remember some years ago, at the chapel, and we could pray for you. Is there any way we could pray for you? She wasn't interested in like you know taking charge or anything. Well, is there any way we could pray for you? She said, "No, I'm good." Kind of like, you know, I'm kind of the conversation. And then all of a sudden, she was like, "Wait, actually, no, I have a friend whose daughter like just got diagnosed with cancer. Would you guys like pray for her?" Sure. So we prayed for her right there, and then we ended up talking with her a little bit after that. Like her heart opened because she saw we wanted to be kind. You know, and the way this is the way people in the world think, right? Because they don't know God, don't have a relationship with Him. So like, yeah, well, you're a Christian, like you're like those Christian people, a church person. Maybe you have an in with God, and so maybe you could pray for me. So people, but when you pray, you're showing the heart of Christ, right? Who ministered to the people, to needy people, even when they didn't yet believe, right? Even when they were slow of heart and still blind, right? He would minister to their physical needs. Now his ultimate aim was their eternal need, right? Because he knew that temporary need is, you know, temporary healing is temporary, but it's genuine compassion on people, and so we display that. And so as you pray for people, now thank you, like, wow, that's so, and you'd be amazed at how that carries on a conversation with people. And that's, I think, one of the things, especially in, like, you know, kind of modern American culture and especially, like, suburban culture where everybody's suspicious of religion and all this, and people are just naturally suspicious of strangers. You know, 60 years ago, you go knock on a door, and you're a stranger, and people, like, invite you in, and, hey, we've got candy here, I would just bake some pie, you know, here, sit down. But we're just right now in a time of our culture where people are a lot more suspicious, there's a kind of... But when you start with blessing somebody, giving them something, it lowers the barrier, and now it opens people up. That's one of the reasons we're doing I love the new neighbor outreach, the new neighbor cookie outreach. So yeah, anything I can do for you about? And we said, no, I'm good. Or sometimes people, just pray. Yeah, you can pray for me, but they don't give you. Or yeah, pray that God, you know, I needed another job or whatever. And it's usually like temporal, but sometimes we'll pray for. So we were talking to young kids. Sam and I went out to do some street evangelism in Bridgeton yesterday morning, and we were talking to kids. And at the end, right, we asked, hey, can we pray for anything we can pray for you about? And one kid was like, yeah, could you pray for? He's a senior in high school, Bridgeton. Can you pray for my relationship with my parents? He's Roman Catholic, you know, doesn't really know the gospel or anything, but, you know, just is it some challenges. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, absolutely, we'll pray. So, and we prayed. And we prayed, and as you pray for people, too, you can be bold in your praying. So we're like, Lord, you know, bless them as they're guided their steps, as they're thinking about going to the military. Pray for his relationship with the parents, with, that to any barriers, any challenges there, that you provide just reconciliation. And Lord, I pray just for your work, the work of your Spirit in his life and his parents' life, because we know that true peace and reconciliation comes from being reconciled to you. So just give that to him. So be bold in your prayer, and people are going to hear the gospel if you're really, you know, kind of pouring out your heart for them. And I've never had anybody say, well, I'm offended that you were praying for my spiritual need. No, they're always like, oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Even people who told me, you know, I'm not ready to believe, or that's not, I'm amazed, or whatever. Can I pray for you before you leave? Sure. And you're praying for the spiritual need. And they're like, hey, thanks. I appreciate you. I appreciate that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was a very easy, very comfortable. If nothing else, people knew where I was coming from. Mm. And that resulted in maybe later on, when they were like, maybe at their wit's end about something, then they would, will you pray for me?
Right, right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, prayer's not an agenda.
That's right. So that's right. Yeah.
It just, yep, lets people know.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
That is the unbravest thing you can possibly do.
Uh-huh.
But it still bears.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, and then would it be okay if I pray for you now? And it, probably maybe one in every like 30 people will say, no, yeah, that's okay. But 29 out of 30 people are like, yeah, that's sure. And then and half the time, you know, the majority of the time, like they bow their head too, and even if they're like not very churched or whatever, and they're listening because people know. And increasingly, there are fewer and fewer people in our culture today, especially my young people, that don't believe in God. I believe in science. I mean, people, I just find that less and less. We are more of us. People have an acknowledgement of the existence of God, the spiritual realm, and all that. All right, so the last avenue, questions. Now, I mean, you know, we could spend an hour on this, and if you make it down to the Boardwalk Chapel at some point for some training, you can get this more thoroughly. Or if you come to Uganda next year, have the privilege of coming to Uganda, you'll get some more of this stuff. But let me just very quickly, I won't really have time to go. I gave you questions here. There's a lot of things I would want to say about it and using these. I think it's so helpful if you need handholds and structures. But if you come down to the Boardwalk Chapel, even just for a day, and you just come out on the boardwalk with me or some other staff members and you just listen, you'll hear, you know, these gospel conversations and the questions like this being used, and you'll hear and you'll see kind of how it works. And that's why I kind of urge all of you guys to come down. But your questions are great. Last time we talked about questions, right? Talked about the important. Maybe we didn't, but the Lord used questions. I find it so helpful in gospel conversations. Questions are so helpful and important because, number one, I just to fly kind of try to fly through some of this, but number one, it shows interest. Oh, this person is actually genuinely interested in me, right? You're not just talking. Last time we talked about talking at, as opposed to talking to or talking with people, right? Talking with people. Number two, it enables you to get to understand where they are. It helps you get to know them, understand. Like, did I read this Francis Schaeffer quote last week? last time? No. Yeah, he basically, he said, it helps you to understand where they are. What are the questions they're asking? So many times, like when we, if we're going to like share theological truth, we just start like, oh, you're Roman Catholic? Okay, boom, boom, boom. Like, this is why the Roman Catholic Church is wrong. This is where they're wrong. This is what the Bible says. And you know what? That person, they may have just been confirmed Roman Catholic, but they've never considered Roman Catholic theology. They have no real allegiance. They question different things. Those aren't the questions they're asking. And so you're just like, phew. But when you ask questions, you find out what's the person, where are they? What are the burdens on their heart that they're carrying? What are the questions they're really asking? And then you can address it, personalize, you know, your evangelism and talking with them. Francis Schaeffer, gifted evangelist. He was one of my seminary professors, Bill Edgar, you know, was converted under his ministry. His brother, who had become a Christian, gave him card. Say, hey, I'm going to, he was going to France. Hey, look up this guy. And he sits down, goes to Labrie, sits down with Francis Schaeffer, starts to ask him questions. He had read a book, Bill Edgar had read a book that got him questioning, what if there's a God? And he was agnostic, you know, and what's the meaning of life? So by like sunrise, he's converted, you know. And but Francis Schaeffer is a very gifted evangelist, fruitful. But he said, if I had an hour to share the gospel with somebody, he said, I would spend the first 55 minutes asking questions and getting to understanding. Yeah, the quote's on my phone in the other room. Understanding what are the questions they're asking. And what are the things that are, and then the last 5 minutes, right, addressing those questions with the truth. So I think it's important to ask questions. Sometimes you just start talking at people, and they feel like, oh, you're just being talked to. You don't know me. But so questions are just really helpful in gospel conversations. Critical when you ask questions, listen. So you're not just asking questions to kind of get the conversation on so you can get your thing in. But when you ask a question, really listen. Okay, what are they saying? What are they not saying? Let me follow it up, try to get understanding. Right, seek understanding of where the person is. Huge. And when you really listen to people, when you genuinely listen to people, you know what they tend to do in return? But listen to you. And when you talk, okay. So, all right. There are some questions I have found consistently helpful in opening gospel conversations. And I've listed, there's three sets of questions here, and we just don't have time to go over them now. But like I said, if you want to come to the Boardwalk Chapel, you know, come. If you want to come, let me know. You can come for some training where we actually go over these things. If you come on a weekday afternoon, we'll go over these. If we on that the Saturday the 4th, we can spend some of that just having a little class time where we can do a little seminar with the group, actually. Let me just because we have a few minutes, rather than going through any of these questions, Sam came with me yesterday. Well, two things. Sam, we did some evangelism downtown Brisbane yesterday. Rich came with me door to door for the new neighbors yesterday afternoon. So let me just give them a chance to share you what your experience was. First, we'll start with Rich, and we'll come back to you because it ties into our lesson directly. Is this something? Was it a? Were you scarred for life, knocking on strangers' doors?
I just want to warn you, when they first see you, they're very suspicious. And today, in this world, you can understand that. But as soon as we said, you know, where we were from, you could just see it kind of melt. And when they had kids, you could tell, you know, there's toys and stuff around. As soon as we said something that we had for kids, we mentioned art camp and a few other things, they kind of lit up, you know. And I guess it was Matthew said his wife wasn't there, but she would be very interested in that. and there was another one that we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Jose, yeah.
So, yeah, be prepared when you first come to a door that, you know, they're going to be a little leery, and you need to look for ways to soften that. But as Chris said, you want to listen. You ask questions like, "Have you moved? We ask like, "Where did you move from?" and things like that. But you can read in between the lines. You know, when they say they moved, you can. The one guy came from Vineland, okay, and you can tell whether it's a good move or a bad move. You know, and it gives you something that you could discuss, talk about. We didn't, but. You can hear a lot that's not being said just by tones of voice, facial expressions, and things like that. And if they see that you have a real interest, that you're not just, you know, getting your points with God in by handing out a certain amount of tracts, especially when you talk about the kids, when they see that you have interest and you want to get there, they listen, you know, and they start asking questions like, "What is it? What do you do?" and things like that. And it can just keep going. So, and that was, you know, we weren't really out that long yesterday.
But your experience, so is it something like you just, yesterday, like with the specific people that we talked to, was it a positive experience for you?
Yeah, we didn't have anything negative. When you're talking about mentioning prayer, though, that... a lady, Mrs. Maxwell, that lives down here.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to the house, she was very busy. Her husband was in the hospital, and she was kind of moving back and forth, and she really wasn't listening to me. But when she said her husband was in the hospital, I said, "Well, would you like us to pray for her?" She stopped, and she looked at me, you know, and she says, "Yes." And that, she said, "That would be good. That would be nice, you know." And so we did, and then Chris and I stopped to see her, you know, a couple of weeks later. And
they invited us in. They invited us in. Yeah, that was when we were handing. So he's referring now to a woman that he talked to when we were handing out, you know, putting the door hangers for the community game night. So, and now you're going up and you're following up, and it turns out Hope, right? It was she got us with Hope. What I love about the new neighbor cookies, you're actually bringing them like homemade cookies and welcoming them. It's even more, you know, it's not just, "Hey, we just want to invite you to something." It's, "We've come with a gift." And it's just great. Yeah, we talked for Matthew yesterday for, you know, a little bit. And he's like, "Yeah, actually, I'll definitely let my wife know about this." "Well, what age is the art camp?" "I have an 11-year-old. I'll let my wife know." She's been saying, because they just recently moved. She's been saying she wants to find a place, especially for the kids. So, you know, I'll let her know about the church. So here's a woman who's like, maybe we could find a church right here. I could bring the kids over. But now, so just try to squeeze this in here. But so Sam and I did street evangelism yesterday. What were you expecting, and what was surprising about it? And what did you observe? And would you recommend other people coming out?
So a couple things. I had an expectation that it would be difficult to get into meaningful conversations with people, and I was very much proven wrong. Really, most of our time was spent in just two conversations with a couple of young guys, and it was the way that you kind of went about that was what really impressed me. We went up to this one kid, and you just kind of started basically talking to him, and, you know, asking him some questions, sort of looking for an opening. And I'm kind of sitting there going, "Okay, well, when's he going to jump in with the gospel?" You know, but it was, you kind of just took your time, and I saw him sort of opening up a little bit. You know, at first he was just kind of like, "Why is this guy talking?" Then he kind of sees, "Oh, this person's like, you know, interested and cares," and kind of becomes more open. And that was when you started asking questions. Like, the one question especially that you asked was, "On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely do you think it is that you'll go to heaven?" And both of the conversations we had, the one kid and the two kids later, well, I think the first one, he said it was like five.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two both said three.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell, and they all really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, this is something that like weighs on them, and they think about.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really good way to kind of transition into the gospel. Because now it's like, yeah, this is something that I think about. You know, I think about, you know, what's going to happen when I die.
Yeah.
And that was sort of when you led into sort of the gospel presentation and then, you know, pointed out a few scriptures.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really, really good. And it really held their attention for quite a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, the one guy, the two, they were seniors at Bridgeton, or maybe the other guy was a junior. Maybe they were both seniors. But yeah, I mean, he said, like, yeah, I think about this. I definitely think about this stuff, and I wonder, you know, because I know I've done bad things. But I had to stand before. My comment to when we were kind of talking about it in the car afterwards, I was telling Sam, I said, you know, there are a lot of more people than you realize who are out there who know, right, they're aware of God, and the thought of eternity, judgment, relationship, comes to their mind, and they're burdened by guilt, and they don't know what to do about it. I had one kid at the boardwalk last summer, it was like early 20s, but he's, yeah, my parents, they've recently gotten in church and stuff. I said, and so I started talking to him about, you know, just where he stands with God. So you ever think about these things? And he had said the gospel I was presenting to him, he's like, no, I've never really heard this before, you know. I said, you think about these things? He'd go, all the time. Well, not like literally every minute, but yeah, when I'm just like, you know, I'm back at home in my room, just, yeah, I think about this. And I thought to myself, well, how many believers does he have in his life who have a burden for life, who are actually talking to him about what God has done and these gospel truths? I'm convinced more and more there's these people all out here. And we have the opportunity, and this is the joy and the privilege that we have and an opportunity we have. As we were more open, right, with the gospel and just talking to people. We had some great conversations with people out there. And, you know, these questions were very, you know, I've used some of these questions, you know, with them. But you talk to people as people. And when they sense there's a genuineness, right, you care about them. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, but I don't care about strangers. That's a, you know. And that's exactly right. And that's what Jesus says, right? Whoever's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Because as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's all about myself by nature, myself, you know, naturally. I'm all about myself. But it's Christ in me, and the more we grow, and that's what the Christian life is about, becoming more like Christ, not as we just pull our bootstraps up and say, all right, I got to get my stuff together. No, but the more we drink from Christ, the more we fellowship with him, right? The more, and it's prayer. As we went out, we pray. As Sam and I, yeah, Lord, open up doors and just fill us with yourself and use us, you know, because we need what we don't have, but you have and you promise it. So, well, that's it. You can take these and dates again for New Hope. Saturday, August 7th, we'll try to do add a seminar into that. That'll be late morning, early afternoon. And then there's a Wednesday evening. Is it June 20?
Wednesday, June 24th, Saturday, August 7th.
June 24th, okay. So put that down. You can carpool together, come down, and start seeing it in action. We're over time. Let me close this in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray that you indeed would fill us more and more with just the life of Christ, and that you would help us, Lord, empower us to drink deeply from him. Use us, O Lord. I thank you for each person here, Lord, for their gifts, the ways that you've gifted them, the ways that they reflect Christ, Lord, and the part, Lord, that they play in the church, the part you've given them. And I pray that you would empower them and use each person here to gather in your sheep, that the church might grow up into the fullness of Christ. And, Lord, bless them in the months to come, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.